what you know about it.
It's the stew, baby.
Got the mise en place.
Young stew, baby.
And the room a lot.
Thank you. That is so sweet of you.
For the man who has everything,
I know.
I give him something he didn't have.
That's right. Wow. That's beautiful. I've never had this before.
It's very good. It's pretty chill.
Amazing.
Is that tequila?
No, it's
rum.
It's rum.
Oh, it's rum. Okay.
It's a good sipper, and it's good in Dark and Storm. Mm. It hits all your marks.
God bless you.
Good with the rock.
I feel like rum is having a moment right now.
It tastes good.
Yeah, it tastes really good.
It was
it mixes
gin, and
well.
Now it's rum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it mixes well.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it tastes good on its own.
And it gets you drunk.
Yeah, it does.
Can you have me that rum?
Yeah.
I had a cocktail from a restaurant in Monterey
that
is doing their own barrel-aged Negronis.
Ooh.
Which is crazy. They had huge casks sitting above the bar. And like the bartender's names were signed on them and dated when it was cacked.
The Negronis move because it's you can just make a huge batch of it, and there's no fruit or sugars really. It's just all bitters and alcohol, so it just keeps and keeps and keeps and keeps.
Yeah,
it's
like
the smartest thing to make.
I had a Negroni slushy in Chicago.
Mm,
at where was it?
That sounds really good.
I forget where it was from.
My friend told me about that.
It was that fried chicken place
I ever had
in Chicago.
Damn,
I forget the name.
Is Halloween open yet?
You're listening to the stew. My name is Jason Stewart. This is my food podcast.
Hello.
Andre Conaparo, say hello.
What's up?
Chris Stewart, say hello.
Hi, guys.
We have one guest today.
One guest.
Hi. We got Cozy's. Cozy's back. Adriana, say hello.
Cozy is back. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Double A.
We're talking rum. We just closed the door. Pickles is chilling. Sam is chilling.
He looks chill.
You just gave Andre a birthday present.
When his birthday was not.
3.5 months after.
Yeah.
But still more
better
than
nothing.
More than welcome. So happy.
I got so used to it being in the corner of my bedroom. I was like, oh, that looks good over there. And today I was like, oh God, you have to give that to me.
Have you ever been tempted to like keep someone's birthday gift because it's been so long?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I have to.
Have you ever been tempted to, or have you ever done it?
Because
I've definitely done that probably. Yeah,
I feel like I have done that, but I can't think of the instance where I actually did it, but I feel like that's something I would
do. See this laptop? Mm-hmm. That's how I got it.
Sorry, Sam.
You're the best.
But I'm inspired by this move because now I want to recruit like 3 friends to give me a birthday gift every like 3 months. Like set it up like you've got March on lock. I'm going to reach out to you, Jason. I'm going to try and get you to get maybe August locked down for me.
Okay.
These are things that you have to do when your birthday falls the day after
December
Christmas.
December 26th. Exactly.
So you're...
This is a genius idea. Thank you.
Yes.
I implemented it.
It really is good.
It is good.
I got so excited when you lifted... Like, you're like, I remember when it was my birthday and you told me you got something and you're excited to give it to me and I got very excited.
Yeah.
And then that was it. It was like almost like that was enough that you thought of my birthday. I was like, I didn't need the present. He just thought of it. It was really sweet.
Yeah.
But now you hand me this silver package, this beautiful Diplomático Añejo rum. Double gold.
What region of Mexico are you from? Because your accent is...
Delicioso. I speak a lot of languages.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's too bad
that you found out about this birthday idea so late into your adult life. And so, you know, imagine being like 5 years old and having your parents give you that sick idea.
That would never play.
It could play.
Well, you'd have to chase it. That would be awkward, like chasing it down, being like, yeah, almost the end of the month. Jason, August is almost over. Just throwing that out there. Nothing. Coming up, Snake Eyes so far.
We'll set
so
a Google reminder.
That would work.
Yeah, sure.
We'll do a cow. So we didn't not podcast last week.
Sorry.
People were out of town. People were working. People were sick. Who has the time?
I miss these all the time, really.
Well, you're a busy boy.
Yeah.
That's okay.
But
we're here. We're going to make up for it with a great pod this week, guys.
Really? Yep.
We haven't podded together. We've been in the same place at the same time, but we've never spoken together or recorded it.
We haven't? I thought the last one you were there. No, you couldn't make it.
Mm-mm.
Is this your second or your third?
This is my third.
Third. That's what I thought.
And that was
I'm a veteran.
You were podcasting with Jason and Chris Chang. Hi, Chase.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't listen.
That would give you the current title holder, right? You're the Three Timers
Club.
Yeah,
I would say so.
Really? It's been a year since I've done it, I feel like.
Three Timers Club.
Yeah. Because the last time I did it was for Pi Day. Remember? And that was last year.
And you've had a cookbook. Yeah,
I did.
Since then.
Damn, your October. Memory's good.
Yeah. I have a good memory. That's
yeah, you talk like that. You probably don't even want to talk about the cookbook anymore, do you?
No, I do. Yeah. You want to buy it? Yeah.
We've got some in the trunk, baby. Still. Anybody here? Anybody
we have,
here
we have a listenership.
Not much of a readership. They're more like hearers and
right,
than
exactly.
Lookers,
that's okay.
You know?
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
No James Beard this time.
No. Well, it had crafts in it. I think that I'm thinking that that's the sole reason that why I wasn't
thing
nominated.
That kept you out.
Yeah.
That's nerd.
Yeah. So the book that when did it come out? Like a
October. You're like so a month ago?
Like a month of October ago?
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah, it came out in October. It came out in October because it's like a gifting book. Yeah. So the idea is that people would gift it to one another for Christmas.
Yeah,
or
isn't like other, fall Jason. Is the cookbook prime time. Like
it
you
is.
Want it to come out shortly before Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the big books come out before Christmas. But I mean, I know of some pretty successful books that have come out like in spring. It depends sort of also what your book is about. I mean, sure. If it's about like herbs or like fruit, I have a friend who's coming out with a book next week and it's like about fruit. Obviously, it's going to come out leading into spring and summer.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Unless you're dealing with citrus.
That's true. She has citrus and apples and pears yeah. and stuff, but
how do you write a cookbook about fruit?
What?
How do you write a cookbook about fruit?
Well, it's more like recipes with fruit in them.
Got it.
Like a lot of baking recipes with fruit in them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Smoothies.
Smoothies. Popsicles.
Ooh. Alcoholic beverages.
Yeah.
I feel like fruit's going to make a comeback this year, guys.
A gorgonzola-based salad. Gorgonzola.
The gorgonzola.
I'm just thinking of
fruit. So your book, so it's like 75% food, 25% craft?
Yeah, I would put it about,
that's fair?
Yeah.
Can you describe some of these crafts?
Sure. Like
my favorite one is the dip dyed dog leash.
Oh right, whoa. Yeah. You can make a dip dyed dog leash for your dog or favorite person.
Nah,
your slave.
This dog leash is for my dog.
Yeah,
your rave slave.
And then there's also there's like this method of tie dyeing, this like Japanese technique called shibori. And so there's like you basically take a plank of wood. And I guess it could be any shape, but in the book, it's a square. And you put it on either side of a folded piece of linen, and then you tie it with rubber bands, secure it with rubber bands, and then you dip it into dye. And so, and then you let it dry, and then when it comes out, it's like little squares.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the dye, yeah, it's like a pattern. So that's probably my favorite craft.
I feel like I like the sound of that more than normal tie-dye by a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I feel like tie-dye. Oh my God, Sam brought out the book.
I know it's here.
Ooh. I'm still waiting. Sam brought me a copy of the book.
I'm waiting on my copy of the pancake book.
Oh yeah, I have one.
Part of my body is in that.
It is. It is. It's in like the. It's like near the chapter title or whatever.
Part of your body is in there?
Yeah, because he came to my pancake breakfast shoot.
Yeah, it was like part of the. You know, she needed.
That's how long we've known each other. That's what's crazy.
Yep.
I left a little piece of me in that cookbook.
I ate a lot of fucking pancakes that day, and it was great.
I remember that.
In a lot.
I feel like I never eat pancakes.
I don't eat pancakes either anymore.
It's a good, like...
Making a pancake cookbook will fuck you up for pancakes forever, huh?
Yeah.
Probably like four times a year at the most.
Yeah. There are some Saturdays, though, that I'll wake up and be like, I wish I had pancakes.
Yeah.
But then I never make them, and then it just goes away.
Oh, I love just a Bisquick pancake with some butter and syrup.
I feel like I like waffles now better than pancakes.
Agreed.
I've always liked waffles more.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're like crispy on the outside, and like, I don't know. I'm kind of into waffles.
You like the Go Get 'em and the G&B waffles?
I've never had those.
The yeasty ones? Oh, they're fantastic.
I've never had them either. Whoa.
I bet they are good.
Whoa.
Pretty good.
I've seen them made downtown.
Oh, only pretty good. He says fantastic.
I think I may have got a soggy.
No, I never got a soggy. That's funny. I never got a soggy.
Wait, where do you get it at? The one in Larchmont or downtown?
I've had it at both, and they're verbatim. It's shocking.
They smell really good.
It's the exact same. Yeah, that's the thing that gets you because they put a great amount of yeast in there.
Yeah,
so it's like really aromatic and it's quite good.
I love putting fillings in waffles, and I feel like it's really uncommon as opposed to you always see like pancakes with a bunch of different ingredients. But it seems like waffles people go vanilla on it the entire time.
Yeah, I kind of like it just plain.
But like adding like bacon or any like rhubarb or yeah, in the rhubarb
it's tough.
In the waffle maker, I love it.
Depends how thin your mold is, I suppose, because it's hard to get stuff.
Yeah, I mean, kind of like, just go for yeasted. I like
mixed
yeast
into the batter?
Yeah, in the batter.
Well, remember when we were in the kids, batter. We'd get the blueberry ones that were frozen, and they'd be covered in blueberries inside. They're so good, so I'm kind of with you.
Legos, well, it's the same thing,
or Eggos. Yeah, Eggos.
Lego.
Quadruple toasted blueberry Eggo.
We got the
But any fruit,
hippie ones,
any fruit you put in, like blueberries or apples or anything you can imagine, there's all those little crevices and crannies for them to hit the surface area with and just like caramelize up on the waffle, as opposed to, I don't know, I feel like you're only hitting the flat part of the pancake. But when you slam that waffle iron shut, it does a really good job of caramelizing up them fruits.
You love a cranny.
That's true.
I like a cranny.
Yeah, that's why you got to, when you have like a crumpet, you're supposed to like tear it instead of slice it.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never eaten a crumpet, I don't think.
Crumpets are great.
Actually, Trader Joe's crumpet, not bad.
Not really? Bad at all.
Yeah, it's pretty damn good.
Maybe I'll try it.
It's kind of like an English muffin, but a little more, a little sweeter, right? And it's a little more
pillowy.
Yeah.
Spongy.
A little spongier. It's pretty fucking tight. A little butter on there. Forget about it.
Forget about it. I would like to mention the ample amounts of photos of your absolutely beautiful dog throughout this cookbook.
Yeah, she's in there a lot.
She's really cute. It's a corgi for our listeners.
Yeah. My editor, Dervla, is like very into Amelia. She really likes Amelia.
What's your editor's name?
Very photogenic.
Dervla. Kelly. Shout out Dervla Kelly.
Hi, Dervla.
That's quite a name.
She's Irish.
Oh, right on.
Really?
Yeah.
Thanks to Kelly.
I would have gone not Indian.
Yeah, I was thinking kind of...
Maybe Dervla sounds... It sounds maybe more... When you see it... It's not, you're not like, well, that's a strange name, you know? On paper, I don't know. Dervla.
It sounds strange to me.
Photogenic dog.
I like it.
So big LA food news today. Shake Shack opens today.
I know, I heard about that.
I feel like it's been open for ages.
I thought it was open already.
Yeah.
Soft.
Softies and things.
I like Shake Shack. I'm excited for it to be here. I mean, I don't really eat In-N-Out very much because it gives me... a stomach ache. It makes me feel like shit.
Real bad.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think you gotta go Stewie's. Stewie's route there. He does it pretty well.
Wow, thank you.
No fry.
Double burg
instead of
at In-N-Out or Shake Shack.
In-N-Out.
Oh, In-N-Out. You don't do any fry. See, I don't really like the fries at In-N-Out that much.
I don't hate them. I just.
Well done.
I prefer. Yeah,
they're a ticking time bomb. Those fries. You got 3 minutes.
No cheese. All I taste is cheese, and it's. I'm not the biggest American cheese fan.
Oh, see, I like American cheese.
What's up with American cheese having a giant... Everyone's like loving American cheese.
Everyone loves it.
It's having a really hot, trendy moment.
It really hurts my body.
I think Chef Steps has a
I wonder if that's what upsets my stomach or makes me feel sick.
Every place has like house-made American cheese with xylitol, glutamate, floss, blah, blah, blah stuff.
That's the one.
And you're like, is this really going to be better than like some sick-ass Tillamook cheddar?
Shout out Tillamook.
No, I'd rather have
I feel like Tillamook is a sponsor for both of us.
Hell yeah.
We're waiting to see the benefits of our sponsorship, but yeah.
Hey man, I've got a half a pound of aged cheddar in the fridge right now.
Nice.
Did it come in the mail?
No, I bought it.
Yeah, okay, there you go. That's
what I thought. I'll take a sample at Burger Lords. That sounds good, Tillamook.
Yeah, what kind of cheese do you guys use at Burger Lords?
American cheese.
Straight up.
Bang, bang.
Like Kraft singles?
People what they want. It's a bump up from Kraft, but analogous too, sure.
Yeah. I mean, what's good about American cheese is the meltability. Like, it melts so beautifully. Like, it's picturesque.
But then when it hardens, it just like, now it's coated in it like a shell.
But it's so
like
melty. Shell. It makes you wonder why it's so melty.
You know, like,
yeah, because it's
God,
like practically
God didn't
not real.
Make this cheese melty.
No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when it.
Science did.
When it heats up and then
Monsanto
cools,
made it melty.
When it melts and then cools down, whenever I see it, I just think, there's no way my body can break this down.
Sure.
Like, this is going to just last inside of me like gum forever.
Yeah.
Well, what kind of cheese does Shake Shack use? Because I feel like it's somewhat similar,
I'm
right?
I'm sure it has to be American.
Yeah, it looks like American.
Mm-hmm.
Is Shake Shack going to open with the chicken sandwich? I've never had the chicken sandwich.
I've seen pictures of it, yeah.
And they also have like one of their milkshake thingies with squirrel jam.
No shit, that's LA exclusive. Smart. That's smart.
They really got it all worked out.
Wow. All right.
But we got to go to West Hollywood for it.
Fair enough.
They're going to open one in Glendale, I think.
Yeah. Across from the Americana.
Yeah, I'm not going to WeHo
for... I'm not crossing Western for a goddamn Shake Shack burger, that's for sure.
I will.
Hell no.
Make a day of it.
Hell no. I'll make a day going somewhere else. You heard me?
But I mean, where do you? A burger is a destination food for me.
It is. It's fun.
You have fun with it. You're like you go shopping.
I will say I'm only saying that because I've tried the burger and I think it's good. But it's not traveling to West Hollywood good from the east side. But I would travel to try the chicken sandwich because I've heard many a good thing about it.
Also, speaking of Shake Shack, they use the Martin's potato rolls.
Yeah.
Which we got our pop-up thingy. And
shipped them direct from the company.
And I ate one yesterday.
Yeah.
Still completely as the day it came
out. I got 16 in the house right now. I'm trying to figure out what to do with them.
When did we order these?
Let's see. So the pop-up was on the 25th, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
So we got them about a week before that because we wanted to make sure that... Because we had to order them. They had to FedEx them. They told us they were 3 week shelf stable. So we got them with enough time. If we had to call an Audible, we could get a different kind of bun.
So it's been a month pretty much.
Yeah.
And I pulled one out of unrefrigerated, just sitting in my cupboard. Perfectly delicious.
No, fine. Maggie's parents.
It's so weird.
Maggie's parents
scary.
Were in town last week, and I made them like an LA drive-through burger. Mm-hmm. And I used a Martin's potato roll and some burger blend from McCall's, and it was amazing. It was perfect. And the roll was absolutely spot on, like you thought it was baked that morning.
It's a little scary why it lasts
yeah,
so
it
long.
Is. I know.
Because like, obviously a lot of these supermarket buns have preservatives in them, but you don't expect them to go a month.
Mm-mm. Month is a long time.
Yeah.
Month is like McDonald's status.
Yeah.
It is. Let's do a McDonald's Martin's side by side.
I can tell you
YouTube
the results
bit.
Right now. Oh, if we're going time-wise, I'm not
time
sure.
Time-wise.
But taste-wise.
Stewie's on a phone call. Have you guys seen...
My grease man called.
Your grease man. His
Ooh.
Grease man called.
What's up with your grease man? This is live food restaurant stuff happening before our very eyes. Hot off the line.
One was easy.
Grease guy calls you. Are you worrying? Are you thinking fire? This is an emergency. I got to answer this phone.
No.
No,
the grease is it's a grease removal. So it's just that
they come pick it up, right?
Dump. Yeah, but yeah. We were sharing with the neighboring restaurant. We realized we need to get our own because they have control of when it gets picked up. So we need to control that because we make so much more because we changed the fryer oil.
Yep.
So that's like a gobs of oil right then and there.
Yeah.
And then we just making burgers is a greasy thing. So
it's a greasy thing.
Making burgers is a greasy thing.
Yeah.
And what happened to the old days of Silver Lake when everyone had a Mercedes-Benz that ran on French fry oil?
Shout out Scott Mosier.
That doesn't really happen anymore.
I never see that.
You used to smell them before.
Those
anything.
People just got Teslas.
Yeah.
They grew up.
Yeah, they grew up
and got Teslas.
Damn.
And they grew way up.
Yeah.
They feel blessed.
But I feel like there was 2 years where everyone had it.
It's a hassle.
And you could smell...
It seems like a pain in the ass.
Like there were times where I could smell a car and I could be like, popcorn, Carl's Jr., McDonald's. Donut, like you could tell exactly,
wow.
And just coming out of the back of an 84 turbo diesel Benz.
Love Automotive, I think, was the big one in Silver Lake.
Yeah,
where everyone I know got theirs from. It's not there anymore.
I think people realize that just buying diesel is fine. It's actually not.
Or just buying a Prius is like, you're doing the
Prius
best
happened.
You can, you know.
Prius happened.
Prius
you're
happened.
Trying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't have to find the nearest Chinese restaurant to fill her up.
It was a messy business. Anyone who tells you that it wasn't, like when I had friends who would like cop oil from restaurants and stuff, it was just like, it gets everywhere, it smells. It was one of those things where
like
on paper,
idea.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah, why not? And then you start living with it for a year and you're like, fuck this car. I don't
yes.
want this
it's
anymore.
It's way easier to go to a gas station and like.
Yes. And destroy the environment.
It's way easier to go to IKEA instead of a regular furniture place.
Well, there also wasn't like the infrastructure of like people opening up gas stations or pumps at gas stations with oil either. Like if that somehow had kind of come together, I think that would have made things easier.
Yeah, like charging stations for Teslas. Like those are kind of everywhere.
Yeah.
You can actually look. They have like maps on where you
there's
can.
An app.
Yeah, there's an app. So I had a friend who had an electric car and she like was going to a party. She like made us pick her up at like a charging station that was in like a Radisson. Yeah. Whoa. Random places, yeah.
Whole Foods, park, like
Whole Foods. You get priority sometimes.
Yeah,
a lot
you do.
With your charging at IKEA and Whole Foods.
A lot of like Pasadena parking structures have them.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, I bet.
When
it
I drove to San Francisco a month ago, and we
look at you, San Francisco,
yeah, man, international
movie.
You're in the same country.
Coming from the guy who has just spent a week in Northern California, got back yesterday. You want to talk about this right now, Andre? But we stopped at a random Starbucks, get some coffee, you know, rest the legs. And then behind the Starbucks was 12 Tesla charging stations.
No shit.
Just lined up in a row, not a single car on there.
That's crazy. That's a lot of charging stations.
Tesla spent a lot of money.
Where was this?
So
where
in,
was this,
right?
Northern California?
No, this was halfway between LA and San
halfway,
Francisco.
Halfway, because I was like, oh, if you're in Mountain View, that makes sense. That's like the
rich-ass like,
Tesla owners.
It was like
owners.
Truck stop in...
So weird. London,
you know, whatever.
What?
Or something.
Yeah. Well, I guess they're thinking... I think Tesla's going to release a cheaper $30,000 version. Ooh. That's going to compete with the BMW 3 Series. I think that's the market they're after.
It looks attractive.
Yeah, I think it... I don't know if it's going to look attractive, but that's... I think they were supposed to release it this year. I was actually kind of waiting for that car, but then I was like, do I really want a $30,000 car? So I don't have one right now. And I don't really care because I don't drive that much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
I wonder.
And also when you buy one of those cars, especially at, like the first car of its make, mm-hmm. the first year, that's kind of risky.
It's dodgy.
Because it usually doesn't... They haven't worked stuff out.
I learned that with Apple products.
Right. It's not the best.
first gen, not always the best idea.
Yeah. So I think I might buy a new car and then get that year's.
There you go. So I'll plan.
What kind of car are you going to get?
I was thinking of getting a Prius C, like the little hatchback.
The little one.
The little dude. Because I have a Mini now, and I feel like that's...
It's a lateral move.
It is a lateral move. And I've gotten really used to... the small size, like parking wise, like I'm always like, oh, can I fit? And then I'm like, fuck it, I'll make this fit. And like I do, you know. Yeah. So if I went from
that vertical,
yeah,
and you drop the seat going vertical, but you drop the seats too, you got so much room in
yeah that's what I do with my Mini. I can fit so much stuff in my Mini. Well, sort of, but
corgi playtime.
Yeah
the Mini is roomier than you think.
It is
nice to be totally fine driving Sam's old Mini.
Yeah, and I kind of like the idea that the Prius C has four doors. I'm into that.
That's nice.
Especially going from a two-door car that sometimes is a pain in the ass.
Four doors tight.
Yeah, so that maybe I'm going to do that. I don't know. I was passing by the Toyota dealership the other day, and I was like, I don't really want to talk to anybody.
Just make sure you don't get one of the weird colored
this
ones.
This today.
Yeah, they can be ugly.
Like,
yeah.
There's like a lot of weird orange.
Yeah, no.
Orange.
It needs to be like gray or black or like...
I always wonder what... Who are the people that buy regular cars in crazy colors?
People that don't like resale value?
Yeah,
exactly,
I feel like it must be such a...
Well, they're heavily discounted too, I think. I think the question is, why do car manufacturers pick insane colors for normal cars?
Well, sometimes people special order their insane colors.
Right. People really like I love... I'm the chick who loves purple, and I'm going to get this light purple Kia, and...
Yeah,
when it comes time to sell that... It must be so hard. Like, selling a car already is a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But imagine if that thing is just neon.
I have a
yellow.
Purple car.
I think you just get painted.
I have a purple car.
Different.
It's a dark purple. It's a dark purple. Yeah.
Well,
it's
you
a
know
dark
what
purple.
I mean.
You got
Yeah.
Purple's my fave color.
Right.
But
naturally.
There's obviously a
I
lot
can tell.
Of. There's a lot of.
Right.
Bad colors.
Right.
My food
especially,
podcast.
Especially if you're swerving, had a couple drinks, you don't want to get the attention of having the orange car.
You don't.
Easy to find a parking lot.
Or an 82 Cadillac.
Definitely don't want that.
Food.
Speaking of
Cadillacs. We're not talking about food.
Yeah.
I just got a Vitamix. Speaking of Cadillacs.
Nice.
All black.
Variable speed.
I'm living life.
Good resale value on the all black.
Yeah. That's right. It feels good to be in the club.
I'm very jealous.
Of Vitamix.
You have a much nicer Vitamix than me.
Just because I bought it at a different time, that's all.
But that handle's
I wanna
real
see,
nice.
I'm going to get up.
Yeah, go look.
Yeah, go check it
it's
out.
It's shiny. It's not a matte black. That's the dog.
That's Pickles. I love me a Vitamix.
For the listeners at home?
Love me a Vitamix.
As a former smoothie shake maker, try to get that variable speed. Don't get this to the high-low. Like you got to ramp it up.
Yeah,
you
ramp it up.
You
got to feather that clutch, baby.
Yeah, you got to feather the clutch. It's good.
It took me years to justify spending that much money on a dang blender.
Yeah.
But my old one just took a crap on me, so
I
if
bought,
you're going to buy one, you got to get the Vitamix.
I bought my first one at Costco shopping with a couple friends for a barbecue you and I were going to have. You remember this? We were going barbecue supplies, and they're doing the road demo. And I was like, what is this? And they made this slushie that was so perfect that I was like, we are buying this right now, and I'm going to return it tomorrow. But we're going to make margaritas all day, baby. Mm-hmm. Okay. All day. And then I fell in love with it and kept it. It became our little baby.
It's a beautiful thing, man.
No, I fully intended to never own a $350 blender. I was like, what crazy person does this?
No, they're more expensive than that, I think.
I will return it. When I bought it was $350.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a new one now is like $499.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and they have like the platinum.
Yeah, that's
series.
Like $750 or whatever.
Oh god!
But I was thinking, like, when you're an avid home cook, you have the nice KitchenAid mixer, you have the Vitamix blender, you've got the Cuisinart food processor. You have a sous vide. Like, what?
If they get shipped to me.
Where do you go from there? Like, what's the next thing?
Robocoop steak.
Like once you have all these like top shelf thingies, that's it. You have it all.
Yeah, you don't need
duck press, baby.
You get a duck press. Maybe. What about a pressure cooker?
Yeah, a pressure cooker. Josh, my boyfriend, has been wanting to buy a pressure cooker, and like, I just have so much shit that it's like something has to leave before it comes in. Yeah. So it's like 100%. You're gonna have to part with something. 100%. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Mm.
To get that.
Why does
we
he
don't
want the pressure
that.
Cooker?
Build a cabinet.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. He wants to like be able to make beans in an hour. And I'm just like, I don't even eat beans. Like, what? Why?
You don't eat beans?
Not really. I don't really eat that many beans.
But pressure cooker owners tell me that it's not only it's also texture.
Right.
Like, it makes a mean bean.
Yeah.
The pressure cooker.
That
but
meat,
like, do you can, are you willing to spend $200 to have like a faster bean? Is the thing?
Oh, I'm not.
Right.
Well, in the world where you've already got everything else,
yeah,
and you're like, what am I going to play with next? But I also feel like the pressure cooker doesn't come. So we're ramping up in kind of luxury items, right? Pressure cooker, you get a decent one for like $40.
Yeah,
and so that can be at the start of the journey. But when you're hitting like the Vitamix at $350, $400, now we're talking about a $2,500 duck press. We're going luxury right now,
maybe.
Right? But I feel like a Vitamix is something that I use. I mean, I don't even use it that often, but I use it definitely more than I ever would a pressure cooker.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
Oh, yeah.
And a stand-up mixer 100%. Use. I mean, maybe it's because I bake a lot, but I use a stand-up mixer like several times a week.
Damn.
I do not. That I will say, and this is also like you just pointed out, because I don't bake that much, I would say the least used item in my house is the stand mixer, and I actually almost use it more for like grinding the meat grinder than I even do for like the
pasta rolling. Yeah.
You know what else I use a lot, and I don't know if you guys are into this.
I am.
Use a spiralizer a lot because I make
spiralizer.
Vegetable noodles a lot.
Oh, the
spiralizer.
Spiralizer. So you put like a cucumber. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I did sweet potatoes the other day. I made like a sweet potato. What?
Raw.
You do it raw,
you do it
and
raw,
then you cook
then you can
the,
cook it.
The sweet potatoes. So then you cook. I cook the sweet potatoes in a pan, and then I transferred it to like a casserole dish, and then I put it in the oven and baked it, and then I cracked eggs on it, and it was like a sweet potato bake.
So it was like a little bird's nest situation.
Yeah.
I bet the texture was really nice of those.
It was.
Yeah,
it was like it wasn't overly cooked. They didn't have like a bite necessarily, but they weren't like overcooked mashed. It wasn't like mashed sweet potato. It had
little bite to it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it'll just turn into mush.
Yeah.
Cool. I forgot to mention this earlier, and I want to make sure I say it because it's one of my favorite things. But you know what? And I thought of it when you're talking about the sweet potatoes. You know when you get like the shredded hash browns in a bag, uncooked from stores, and you can make hash browns? Put those jammers in a waffle maker.
Oh yeah, you know you can do that.
Amazing.
Yeah, people
it's
love
like
putting other things in a waffle maker besides batter.
It's great.
Huh.
This so
super
my,
great.
My favorite Steaks. Person to follow on Instagram is one of the chefs, one of the pastry chefs from Tartine.
Yeah.
It's the wife, Liz Pruett, I think. And so she has a really interesting Instagram because it's a lot of like her recipe testing at home. And she talks about like different things that she's testing and working on. And one of the things is she like wanted to test different doughs in a waffle maker. So she put like Tartine's brioche dough like in the waffle maker. And I mean like the waffles look like sick. Like they look fucking good.
This is so cool.
Then she put croissant dough in it, which was really interesting. Yeah. So she just like tests and works through a lot of things and talks about them extensively. In her captions, and it's just really interesting because you're like, ooh, that's kind of a good idea.
You like to see the process.
Yeah.
It's the first thing I'm going to look at as soon as I get home.
Yeah, everybody should follow her. She's definitely my favorite follow on Instagram right now.
She's awesome.
Damn. See, that's Instagram done right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, right? You have somebody who's like, I'm going to put a bunch of shit into this waffle iron and experiment, but also my husband makes like the best pastry dough in the country. Yeah. So I have access to just all this tight ass dough.
I was gonna say, we have access to like a tight ass waffle maker too. That's another top tier one.
I'm assuming that
there's the industrial waffle maker, that's for sure. And it works infinitely better than one for the house.
So platinum, baby. Her name on Insta is Liz Pruett _ Tartine.
Nice. And is she recipe testing their dishes as well as their breads and baked goods?
I'm not sure.
Because their dishes, tartines sometimes people don't recognize as being as good as it is.
Yeah, it seems like she works a lot on the cookbook, so she does a lot of like, she's testing right now, it seems like a lot of gluten-free options, which I guess if you live in San Francisco, everybody's like, can I be gluten-free? Or LA. And instead of being like how I would be, where it's like, just don't fucking come here. She's actually like, oh, let's accommodate the people, which is what you're supposed to do.
Right. And she like, has a good best. Heart and soul.
Yeah, and make it the best as you can and go like, I'm going to like figure out a pot of choux that's gluten-free, which is probably not very easy, you know?
I prefer a pot of glute.
I will say the Tartine cookbook simultaneously is one of the most beautiful cookbooks you'll ever find and the least approachable you can ever use.
Yeah, I've never baked anything
so dense and ridiculous. It's like, step one, go train in France for 3 years. You're like, what? No, I can't. God damn it.
Well, unwrap your Viking range.
But it is, it's a master book. It's amazing. But yeah, every time I see that book out, I'm just like, oh, so you don't use that, huh?
Buy a 12-foot marble slab and cover it with semolina flour.
Crazy.
I think that's why sometimes bakery cookbooks, I actually haven't really ever tried to bake from Tartine, so I'm not sure about that. But I feel like a lot of bakery cookbooks sometimes are just not realistic for a home baker and that's how they bake because they have equipment and space should be baking things that we can't bake at home because then why else would we go there?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not knocking the cookbook in the sense that like those master books need to exist, but I just see it's so ubiquitous because it's sold in so many nice places and it's on so many people's like counters, or it's given as a gift. It's like one of these things. Like, oh, if you like to cook,
Infinite Jest of cookbooks, perhaps.
Oh.
1,000%. Damn, you nailed it, baby. Yeah. It is literally like because I see it in everybody's home, and I'm always fascinated because I don't know anybody who's been able to make anything out of it.
Right? No, I've never tried.
And they use ovens the size of people's kitchens.
Yeah.
Yeah. And proofers and, you know, like the reason why my pie will come out like sometimes a little uneven, like there will be spots that aren't like, you know, as brown as others. It's because I'm using like a normal oven where, you know.
Have you thought about buying a new oven for your house?
Yeah.
I think that may be the next
move.
And
if you are considering or thought of it, do you have any models?
Thought of buying an O'Keefe and Merritt like off Craigslist, like a refurbed one. Or I've thought of buying, like, I don't have a super big kitchen, so I've thought of getting, like, a really skinny Smeg. Not, like, super tiny, but, like, they're a little smaller.
Could you explain what these things are that you're saying?
So the brands of ovens.
Yeah. So the O'Keefe and Merritt is actually, like, a vintage stove that's made in the 50s.
Is that the style of your house?
Like, a little bit, yeah. It's because really it's, nice? Like, it's, kind of, well, yeah. not my house isn't, like, 50s, but it's, like, 20s.
It looks like a 57 Chevy kind of thing.
Yeah, it would be cute and I wouldn't spend very much money on it. Right. Like I could probably get off Craigslist for like $250 or something like that.
It probably has an analog clock on it.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
And they're pretty reliable.
Down the middle usually, which is kind of tight.
But is it more?
Yeah, the griddle. Yeah.
The griddle's really sick.
Is it more? Yeah, I know what you're talking about. But are those more like vanity than functional?
No, they work
functional?
Great.
I think they're functional. I've cooked with one before. Okay. Yeah.
So they actually work really well. It's not just
I think it's the materials that they use. It's like a denser, like sturdier metal. So
they don't build them like they used to. They're using real American Detroit steel on those sons of bitches, not like these Taiwanese aluminum ones nowadays.
Jeez.
Just to put it in a car analogy, guys.
Yeah. There you go.
I don't need that analogy because I don't even know that those.
So what's the schmeg?
The schmeg is like I don't even know where it comes from actually. Like or
sounds like
Orange
County.
Maybe English, maybe Swedish. I don't know. But they have like those really cute like refrigerators, but they also make really good quality ovens. And the ovens that I've seen are a little smaller. And then there's also this French company that I love, but I wouldn't do this until like I bought a house, called Lagrange. And they're pieces of art. I mean, they go up to like $30,000, really big ones, but I'd probably get the skinnier one. And it's just, I mean, it's beautiful. They come in really cool colors and.
It's the Le Creuset of ovens.
Probably fancier than that. Probably I would say the Ferrari of ovens. I think the Smeg is probably a Le Creuset of
it's
ovens.
It's Italian.
Oh, Smeg?
Yeah, which is very surprising by the name. Or at least they're made in Italy.
Golly geez.
Interesting.
Okay. That's how you're really flexing in this world. Maybe Chrissy Teigen or somebody like that might have one.
Well, Lagrange, yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of other things, Stewie, we were talking about smoking.
Oh, the meat.
Stewie's got the smoker in his crib
just
right
saw
now.
The photo.
Nice.
Right
now.
Yeah, I'd like to smoke vegetables though.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
That's my goal. Cause I've just never, so many years of being vegan and I've cooked better with vegetables. I'm just not that interested in cooking with meats. So I'll leave it to the people who are more interested
meat
in that.
Meatheads.
But yeah, what's the vegan restaurant in Venice? Beautiful. I think it's called Make. Is that the one?
Yeah, Make Kitchen.
When I walked in there, I was blown away at the smell of smoked wood. I was like, oh, this is bizarre. And then I ate, and there's all sorts of spreads and creams and all sorts of things that you would never, and smoked nuts just all throughout that really made it a nice, rich
stacks,
lunch.
Baby.
So, no,
that sounds
it was
good.
Nice
sounds delicious. Actually.
That was fantastic. So I was like, well, why don't I just do this for everything, just smoking everything.
Yeah.
Smoking nuts, even on the cast iron
smoking
skillet
salt.
Inside of there.
That sounds good.
It would be easy. Yeah. Super easy. Might as well put everything I got that,
Yeah.
It's like making a frittata. I'll smoke that. I don't care. Just, there you go.
Yeah,
you could probably smoke it and then put it in the refrigerator and eat it later, right?
No, keep. Yeah.
It's like I'm looking across me right now and you're embarking on the journey of a lifetime.
Oh, thank you.
Right here.
Yeah. Because I feel like with nuts, like you want to get the smoked honey, roasted, almond, whatever. Like, those are the best ones, but you always opt for I'll just get the plain raw ones because they're better for me.
Yeah.
But maybe if you're able to smoke them at home, you're not really affecting, you can still control what you're putting into the nut. You can have, like, a healthy smoked nut
healthy
that's
available.
Without having to put all the crazy stuff in there.
I'm thinking it's just a big-ass smoker, so I'm going to start smoking, so I'm going to fill that whole thing up.
Well, if
stuff.
You're going to set it up and put it out, you're just going to put the whole sink in, like, everything.
Yeah,
the kitchen sink.
You only get
in
one shot.
Yeah. You know what Josh did a couple years ago was he put cherries in it for a pie.
Oh, word?
Ooh. And I thought, we didn't really date at that time, but he did that without me.
Was that what sealed the deal?
No.
No.
But I thought that was a really cool idea of like smoking cherries or smoking some sort of fruit and then putting it in a pie.
Well, cherries are already so rich, I'm sure it can definitely handle some smoke.
Yeah, yeah.
Pears.
Did you eat this smoked cherry pie?
I didn't. I just saw it on Instagram. As I was stalking.
Yeah. Scheming on the low.
I was like, what is he up to?
See, that's how I feel like if you are trying to date somebody like you, that's what you do.
Yeah, I was
you post
like,
up a smoked ham, smoked cherry pie, and then like, oh, okay, we're dating now.
Mm-hmm.
It worked.
Congratulations,
boy.
He seduced me.
What kind of veggies do you want to be smoking, Stewie?
I mean, the obvious is an eggplant.
Yeah, eggplant.
Yeah.
I'm
trying to think.
You have to you have to be okay with the veggies that are going to get mush.
Yeah, I'm always like any
mush. I think
a crookneck zucchini, all sorts of zucchinis.
I was thinking zucchini.
Zucchinis and
I think squash would be good. Like spaghetti squash would be probably really delicious.
I like those summer squash you'll get.
Yeah,
like a mixed batch of them and just try them all and see what happens.
Root vegetables would be nice. Toss a little bit of salt, oil.
Yes.
Smoked pickles.
Onions are great as a
cucumber. Yeah, smoke a cucumber before you pickle it.
Leeks are probably nice.
Even
leeks would be delicious.
Porous that has a lot of water content.
Like green spring green onions or like
when you char
green garlic.
Like charring green onions.
Ramps.
Yeah.
We're going into ramp season, guys.
If you can find them.
Yeah, where do you find ramps in California?
Farmers market.
I feel like it's more of an East Coast thing.
I feel like usually it's like some guy who's like some forager in Portland or some shit gets on a plane with his like basket of ramps and then sells it to like all the chefs in LA for like $40 a pound or something.
Right.
Yes.
That's fucking crazy.
That's what I think.
Are ramps that good though? I've had ramps.
I've had ramps.
They're fine.
They're fine.
They're good.
They're
delicious.
Good.
They taste.
They're not.
Well, I mean, I think like the idea, like, okay, so a truffle. Absolutely, the value of the truffle is ubiquitous and mind-blowing when, mm-hmm. when you have a good one. But ranch is something that are grown seasonal, like in on the East Coast, and it's like
a weed.
Yeah, and it comes in, and it's so nice to have there. But it, then it becomes elevated in a way that you would compare it to a truffle season. You're just like, no, that's not that good. It's right. great. It's nice if you can pull it out of your backyard and cook it in Tennessee. But if you're talking about actually spending top dollar for this product, it tastes like a really
it's
nice onion.
It's kind of like it's like the shallot of a version of a green onion, maybe.
Yeah. They're great.
It's like it's a little bit better.
Like there's the no.
It's like the it's know. The Meyer Lemon of green onions.
Yeah.
But then again,
I'm
like,
on a real analogy kick today. Why not? I'm sorry.
The way it's as good as it is if you just picked it out of the earth and it was grown adjacent to it. It just can't be as good when you fly it back down or you fly from east to the west coast. Like
the whole. You can say the same thing about many ingredients.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a truffle's gonna hold up. But it's not, there's no way it's gonna be as good. It's
truffle
a green.
Gonna hold up.
Greens are like supposed to be
fresh. I got
the money
and the truffle.
You know, to get all the use out of it.
Yeah, I mean, all the oysters and stuff like that.
They're all overnighted.
Different though. You know, it's not. You can.
Also, have you guys heard of a paradise oyster?
No.
No.
Somebody was talking.
My oyster game's not very strong.
Somebody was talking to me about it last night. Said it's the best oyster in the game.
Where does it come from?
It comes from like a glacial area of Alaska, maybe.
I believe that. I went
too.
To Boston.
Like the cleanest water in the game.
And East Coast oysters, like Maine oysters, I was like not a fan.
No.
And I think it's because I've only eaten oysters from
Washington,
like Washington, Oregon area,
Northwest.
Yeah, and then I ate like a Maine, and you know, it's like if you think about it, like Boston's kind of like rough around the edges. Yeah. You know, it's like
oh, you got a Southie oyster.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like a
okay, fair enough.
Yeah, like you expect to have
it
a little
struggled.
Sand in there.
It struggled.
It had a tough upbringing.
Yeah,
this is like
rough.
The kind of oyster is going to offer you Coke at church.
Yeah.
This oyster has been in and out of the system.
Oh yeah,
yes.
It's been chewed up.
Yep.
I almost dabbled with shooting a clam. I went to an oyster spot in Orange County and they
shooting
had
clam. A clam.
Because like, they had clams on the menu too.
A clam shooter.
Oh.
And I was like, I don't know why, I just couldn't wrap my head around doing that. It seemed kind of alien. Has anyone ever done
a
raw clam?
I'm not a big raw clam man.
Yeah.
Or any kind of just steamed clams. It doesn't do it for me.
Oh, I like clams.
I like clams for sure.
Oh, I love clams. Yeah. I came around actually. Maggie and I
clam bake is
had
fantastic.
A conversation this week that I've been trying to fool myself my whole life that I like mussels as much as clams, and it's just not true. I like clams a lot more.
I like both. I mean, you put them in like a buttery, like winey, like herbaceous sauce. I mean, that's good.
Yeah, but so is everything when
that's
you put
true.
It in that.
It's well, true.
What I came to is that I will never prefer mussels in that kind of that wine garlic shallot. That
really?
Beautiful. I will never. If you say, do you want mussels or clams? I will never say mussels.
Yeah, I mean, clams are really good. Like
I love clams.
Yeah, half-half? I mean, I like both of them.
It's kind of the same thing as like when you get the escargot. And you're like, this is really good, but it kind of just
tastes like butter.
It just tastes like butter and garlic.
Yeah. Right.
And it could be anything.
And then I like just getting the butter that's still in the shell and putting it on my bread, and that's my favorite part, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The bread.
It's just like briny and lovely.
Do you ever go to that Japanese market that's downtown right behind Sushi Gen? It's in that complex.
I feel like is that where we got our Musubi presses from?
Behind Sushi Gen?
Well, it's like, it's down the street from Sushi Gen.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's like a block away. It's like where Hondaya is and...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's that, yeah.
It's in that mall.
Oh, the downstairs of it? Yeah,
yes.
The plaza? Sure.
That's actually a Korean market.
It's Korean? Really?
Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny? There's like more Thai markets inside of Chinatown than there are Chinese restaurants in Chinatown. Things like that happen
It's Korean and Japanese, but it's heavily Korean as well.
It is heavily Korean because a lot of the seafood is Korean.
Mm-hmm.
The sauce is there.
Yeah. I mean, they have definitely a mix because I've gotten I've bought like tapioca, black tapioca pearls for boba and stuff like that there. So it's definitely a mix. But
that is then where we got the Musubi presses from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is buying... This is so interesting. What is buying boba like? How's it come?
So it comes...
Is it dry?
Yeah. It looks like clay. It looks like clay balls.
That's kind of how I picture it.
It's really interesting. I just made it for the first time like a couple weeks ago because I made boba like milk tea at home, and then I also used it. I made a milk tea flan.
Ooh.
So
I love
with
that idea.
Boba on top. Mm, so I was like, nice. All right, let's go find some boba. And so I did.
Good call.
And I cooked it, and it was, I looked online and figured out how to do it right or whatever. And it was actually really simple, because the ones that they sell at that market, the only ones that they sell, are quick cooking. So a lot of times you have to cook them for like 30 or 45 minutes, depending on the type. But this was quick cook. It's only 5 minutes. And then you transfer them, rinse them, and then you put them in like a syrup, like some sort of syrup, whatever it is. A lot of people use
like
honey.
You don't want them to oxidize.
Right. You want them to like almost like absorb the sweetness, or you want them to be sort of coated in sweetness. A lot of people will use like a combination of like water, sugar, honey, or whatever. Mm-hmm. I did brown sugar and water. Mm-hmm. And then you just let them soak in there and
you use them right away. You just like boil them in water?
Yeah, you just bring like a pot of water to a boil, dump them in, and then when they're cooked, they'll float right up to the top.
Mm.
My favorite boba spot uses and maybe everybody does, and I've only noticed this one place, but they use a slow cooker to keep all their boba in.
Oh, that makes sense.
And it, like the texture of it is like really good.
Yeah, because a lot of, you have to use it right away.
Right.
So that would make sense to hold it.
Yeah.
So they just make probably one big batch in the morning and then hold it the entire day.
What if you reconstituted them in alcohol?
Would
the boba soak up the alcohol?
You don't want the feds on this, man.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if tapioca is like
absorbent.
I guess
it's pretty
maybe.
Pretty dense.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never tried it.
There's at that restaurant EP and LP, they do boba cocktails.
Oh.
And they have the boba machine that seals the plastic lid on top, and you poke it in.
Oh,
is the boba smaller? Is it normal size?
No, it's regular size. They just basically make like a milk tea cocktail with whatever alcohol is in it, and they just shake it, put the bobas in, and put the thing on.
Maybe some diplomatic
milk
rum.
Tea. Okay, look at it. Check.
Yeah,
we had this constant conversation on this podcast about like things that you can make better at home and things that you can't make better at home.
Mm-hmm.
Milk tea is straight up something you can make at home, and it is so much better than those like synthesized powders that they use for it.
Like, and like they use Coffee Mate, like that's like the thing that a lot of places use. And I actually made it. I made it with almond milk instead of regular milk, and I made it with like Califia, and I thought it was really good that way.
For sure.
When you get like the scratch milk tea from Pine and Crane. It's like you've never had milk tea before, because they're using really high-end, high-grade teas.
Their milk teas are really good.
And it's just like, what is this magical syrup?
It's so good.
They're phenomenal.
They have like a sea salt, like whipped cream milk tea.
So
it's
good.
Just like bomb. Their drink game there is really good.
Stellar.
Very strong.
But it's like, that is one... something that you can make at home, and the better quality sourcing ingredients you're doing, you're going to taste the entire way through.
100%.
Unlike a chicken soft taco from Del Taco, which you cannot recreate at home.
Leave it to the pros.
Bean and cheese burrito from Del Taco, I don't know if I can do that.
Nope.
I would probably need a pressure cooker.
Bang, bang. There you go.
Don't want to go down that road. Just go to Del Taco.
speaking of Japanese stuff, I ate at Raku a few days ago.
Sushi Raku.
Not Sushi Raku.
No?
Isn't that place in WeHo that's like really
that's
bad?
Sushi Roku. Yeah. This is Raku, which is the Japanese
place,
grill place that was originally in Las Vegas, and they moved. They opened up in L.A. on Oceanica, and it's like a very chef.
Who'd you eat there?
Chefy
with?
Destination. Did a little date with Sam.
It is at the top of my list. You've been there what, twice now?
Been there twice. Yeah.
It is at the top of my list of something to try.
Was it good?
It's really good. It's one of those places where it's expensive as a son of a bitch, but it's totally worth it.
Right. Huh.
Kind of like Kisbaka or something like that, where you know that you're going to get a big ass bill, but every time, everything you eat, you're like, oh yeah. I mean, they have the best. They make tofu to order for you, and it's like with some pickled mustard greens and some sweet chilies and things like that, and like different kinds of salts and things you can put on it. Just that alone is so good. But we had like some crazy stuff. I had a sukiyaki hot pot with A5 wagyu.
Whoa.
That was wild. And then it's served on the side. There's a bowl.
Is it served raw and then you're dipping?
It's served raw, and then it cooks in front of you on the table with the clay pot lid on, and then they tell you when it's ready.
Damn.
But then
I feel like you're actually getting wagyu at a place like that.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like in the sense that I think it's so rare that you're actually tasting or getting the kind of quality that people are trying to market to you.
No, I'll show you a picture after off pod.
I'd love to see a
pic. It totally looks.
Put it on the gram.
I might grab it.
Okay.
They also have the giant 4 foot tall pepper cracker that I sat right in front of, and I got to crack pepper on
that's on the
anything
gram.
I ordered.
That's funny.
The hard part about the giant pepper cracker, this is a giant pepper cracker life hack. it puts out so much pepper.
The pea meal?
You can't
pea meal.
You can't literally 1/16 of a turn and you're drowning in pepper. There's so much pepper comes up.
It's a huge.
Oh my gosh, it's
gigantic.
Oh my gosh, that's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, it's giant. I mean, it's bigger than a baseball bat.
I wonder how full of pepper it is, because then that's a lot of force going down, so it's even going to shield even more.
That's true.
The more weight you have in the hopper, it's going
to... We need to get JPL on this.
Let's take it to the lab.
In the hopper.
But they have this really amazing thing where it's a little chunk of chicken breast that they wrap in chicken skin and then and grill it on the skewer, and the chicken breast is the juiciest I've ever had in my life.
It's so succulent.
No, I'm excited to go to this place. I'm not excited to spend the money, but I'm excited to try it.
It's going to happen.
How much is it a person?
With food and if you get drinks with
food
it.
Food only.
No, food and beverage. I feel I wouldn't go there and
I
have
both,
just...
I want both, baby. I want both. You can pregame with a little Svedka in the car and then
that's true.
And
I would,
you know
I would say food only, 100 a person.
Ooh, that's rough.
Yeah, that's rough.
And then you throw in drinks, and and you're in Bev Hills, right? Pretty much.
It's La Cienega. It's by opening ceremony.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's close.
So that's like WeHo.
It's in the rich part of WeHo.
I mean, that's 100. You can do a lot with $100 a person.
Yeah, I know.
So but the thing is, little things there add up. You can do it the affordable way. You can just get a bunch of little skewers, and then you can get a thing of...
Yeah, the Wagyu hot pot is not helping the bill stay
No,
low.
But they have a really good cold green tea soba noodle with a poached, a sous vide egg, and it's $9 or something like that, and all that's right. Totally filling. But there was a dish where it was Wagyu steak that was grilled, and so it's this big wooden box and then a stone that's 6 inches wide that's burning hot, and they just put the whole steak on there.
They put grass in there? Do they burn the...
I don't know. They might.
Yeah.
And then it cooks at your table. It's sizzling and pss, 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 all that stuff. And they cut up in little slices. And they pour burning cognac all over it. And the whole thing steams up and flames. And
you had this or you saw this?
No.
So it's a show too.
It's a show. The person... But it's it's a Vegas. It's a steak that's 4 inches long. It's a tiny... It's less than one portion.
So a whittle guy.
And it was $60 for that. But it's one of those things where you're probably going to be one of the best steaks you've ever eaten in your life kind of thing. And you don't need more than a few bites of it.
No. As opposed to the $90 pork chop at Kisbaka
that's gigantic,
quite a few.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just went there last week, huh?
I did.
I love Kisbaka.
You re-upped?
It is my favorite place.
Yeah,
I think,
it's really good.
To treat myself something special. And they have Culatello right now, which they've been aging for 3 years, which is crazy. But I did go there, and I had the exact same meal we had for my birthday. Mm-hmm. And I was so happy.
God damn it.
I was do I want to try? Nope, I'm not going to. I'm good. Pork chop.
We're going on a fishing trip next week.
We are.
Oh.
How are we going to do, what are we going to do with this fish?
Smoke
have you ever Have you ever cooked fish from a fishing trip before, Adriana?
No.
It's really
so good.
It's really good.
That sounds really fun, though.
Like your boyfriend, being gone all day with the boys, having a couple Bud Lights in the ocean. He comes back with a cooler full of fish and dumps it on the kitchen table.
Sounds like a river runs through.
And you guys,
Brad Pitt coming home, I'd be like all
shirtless.
Right. Yeah, he's got a salmon
shirtless Brad Pitt
salmon over his shoulder.
Yeah,
I've got tonight's dinner.
And I'd then be you gotta, great.
Is that something that you're that,
I've never
are you into that vibe?
Yeah, I'm into the vibe. I've never experienced it though.
Huh.
But I would be into it.
The most fun I feel like, which we have done many times, because you might still have a little bit of a beer buzz on too. You start frying fish and making fish tacos.
Yeah. The thing that I've learned, if you ever go on the fishing trip with your bros and you come home with, 10 pounds of weird
strip immediately and wash your clothes.
Rockfish fillets. I think the idea is whatever you have, cook all of it at that same day.
Yeah. 100%.
Invite all of your friends, as many people over as it's going to take to eat all of it. because there's always going to be like a third of it that you don't get to, and then you put it in your freezer and then just sits in there for like 9 months and then you just throw it away.
You just don't use it.
You just never use it because it's just like weird fish and you're over it. So,
but I think it would be, we've never done this, but I think it would be really great to use part of it in like a Thai fish stew.
Yeah,
oh,
for sure.
Because the meat of the fish is just so tender when you're pulling it. Well, at least, I mean, we're getting like a lot of rock cod, which is a light, flaky white fish to begin with. Yeah. That's a pretty common thing to be pulling up. Nice and it's really nice. So.
I have a recipe in my book that I really like.
Great segue.
Cheer of the crazy.
Do you have the book handy?
Yeah, it's right here.
Oh, great.
It just happens to be here. And it's a whole fish.
Oh.
We are leaving out of Huntington Beach at 5:30 in the morning. That's a beautiful picture.
You're going
and
to Huntington?
It has quinoa underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And tomates? The tomatoes and the peas have been cooked with like butter and herbs in like a pan, and then you pour it over the fish.
Mm. So this is a whole, what is that, a branzino?
This is a branzino,
beautiful.
But you could do this with like a snapper. You could probably do that with like the rock.
What's up with all women always wanting to order the whole branzino?
Yeah, what's up with that? Yeah,
it's always the expensive thing on the menu.
Yeah, This came from me being really bored of seeing like people putting like little slices of lemon in it, and it's like, all right, we can do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, English peas, those are pretty.
And then herbs like Italian parsley and mint.
Mm. That looks delicious.
And then you just cook the tomatoes down a little bit.
But
I'm glad you mentioned it, because maybe we should leave a fish whole and bake it in salt.
Sure.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Smoke it.
Have them clean it.
You could smoke it.
Thanks. Yeah.
All right.
You should definitely smoke some.
Smoke something. I would smoke it, but I don't know who that would be.
You should definitely smoke some.
I'll have it ready.
March is going to have the white boy in the
March
car.
23rd. March 23rd, a week from tomorrow. It's a Wednesday. We're going to be fishing all day. We're going to drive up and then go straight to your house.
Okay.
We're going to get so many beers. We're going to get the fryer set up. We're going to get the smoker set up. And we're going to do a whole salt thingy. And we're going to invite everyone over. All of our listeners at home, you are not invited. And then we're just going to have a good time.
Yeah, that's tight.
And we're going to go through all the fish. There's going to be no sides because we're going to have so much fish to get through.
We'll just get some tortillas.
Okay, we'll get tortillas.
All right. Maybe he's like, okay, we'll do that.
Buy some quinoa.
You twist some arm.
Grandma.
We'll do a batch of quinoa.
I'll make sides.
Have you ever gone to the blue taco truck in Highland Park? What is it called? El Mar.
The El Mar? On,
It's on Figueroa. It's like the tostada with shrimp, and then they have this like cucumber like crema sauce that they put on the base with like hot sauce, and then they put like cold shrimp on it or cold fish.
It's by the park, right?
Yeah,
by the library.
It's right by the park. Yeah, and it's like a $3 lunch. Yeah,
really good.
You could get like two for six if you're hungry.
You want to go for lunch?
I'm
hungry.
Glad but you could do that kind of style with that fish. Would probably be really good. You could even do it with the smoked fish.
Yeah, do some smoky rousies. Friesies, whatever you
want
to
do. The fish fiesta is going to go down, guys. I'm excited. Yes,
that's good.
Sounds good.
Give me some clams.
Okay, I'm super excited, but it's
with
like...
the chipino.
We have come back empty-handed after getting up at 4:30 in the morning.
Where are you guys going? Because where are you driving to?
To Huntington, they
HB.
Said. Our hometown.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
You can leave out of San Pedro, Long Beach, HB, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of all those...
Newport, the way down San Diego.
You fish while listening to NoFX?
Yes.
You can, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. I'll have a podcast loaded up. Don't talk to me.
Don't call me Whitefish.
we'll give a full fish report next week's episode. But this is the last part of our show where we talk about the best thing we ate all week, guys.
I'm torn for once. I've actually torn.
Well, I'll start it up. Give you some time to think about it, Andre. But it comes from Raku.
Rah.
It is a very dumb dish that it costs $30. And Sam and I got one of them each. It is one oyster that's filled with caviar. And that's it. It's just like one oyster sitting on crushed ice with a little orange wedge slice, like a little petite orange slice, enough to get four drops of... perfect oyster, and then just a heaping scoop of the best caviar you've ever had in your life on top of it. and that's it. You just eat it all in one bite, and then you savor it up. And I felt so stupid and
$30
amazing.
Bite.
Jesus yeah.
Christ.
Whoa.
I mean,
you guys did damage.
Yeah,
at this
you guys.
Place,
you guys
huh?
went.
We did
all
not know
out.
It cost $30 until after the fact.
Yeah. Okay. Because
there's like, here's the menu with all the prices, and then here's the chalkboard that we bring to the table with all the stuff that sounds like 50 times better than the shit on the menu.
Now, what is your,
like, that's when they get you, and you feel like a cheap asshole if you're like, how much is that?
Yeah,
one?
Yeah.
You,
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
You don't want to do it.
It.
You don't
I do it. I'll do it. I mean, I won't do it if I think it's going to blow the vibe of the table, but I will be like, how much is it?
Well, I asked about the Wagyu sukiyaki hot pot, how much that cost, but for the caviar, we're just like...
It can't be that much. What, 50, 20 bucks? That's what I would probably have thought, like 20, 15, right. 20 bucks, and then you get 30 and you're like...
That's just that much more.
Times
I see
two.
Why it's $100 bucks a person, dog.
Yeah, man. Sometimes you gotta go in. Nuts. Thank you for that dinner, babe. You're the best.
Oh, hey.
All right, Stewie, you're up.
Oh, mine is the antithesis.
How much caviar?
Of that.
Which kind of caviar is on yours?
This Sturge.
It's a regular Sturge.
Uh-huh.
Okay, go ahead.
No, this mine's from Go Get 'Em Tiger, and their pie game is strong.
Oh.
I have a pick.
Okay.
Ooh,
nice
gotta,
layer.
Great
apple
for the
pie.
Podcast.
The crust is fantastic, but the topping is crumble. So I get best of both worlds because I'm a big crumble guy.
You're a crumble head.
I'm a crumble head.
So this is a pie.
Don't get me around crumble. No. Nom, nom, nom,
so
nom.
Pie on the
oh,
bottom.
That looks really
crumble
good.
On top.
It's quite good. Buttery, flaky. It was fresh. So it was like this perfect.
That looks good.
Room temperature, just sitting out there, and it was like, and it was tough because it looked so good, and the guy behind the counter was so like, you have to get this thing. No one's ordered it yet, and they're all dummies. And then because they had strawberry rhubarb in a crumble form that was looking beautiful. You know when it runs over the edge?
Mm-hmm,
it's
like, mm-hmm. It like oozed out
oh,
a little
God.
Bit. Yeah.
There was such a tough call. I don't know how I didn't get both of them. But God, good God, it's super buttery.
Isn't that very stony just now? Mm. I didn't get both of them.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get
both. I like how Stu also has like taken the mic off of the stand. And
yeah.
He's like,
to talk
I'm
about his
he's like,
to
he's
talk
like
about
comedian,
his apple
like,
pie?
Stand
straight
out,
talk
you know?
Express, baby.
I like to take it off. I don't like to be confined by...
Right, you want to move around.
I've never taken it off. I don't even know what it's like.
It feels really good.
I want
to
try.
Because I like to like, I like to double elbow. I like to lean back.
Right, you kind of feel like you're like a comedian that just comes to the...
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like,
or you feel like Ariana Grande on her second verse of SNL. And all of our listeners at home, sorry about the sound that you heard of the three microphones being removed from their mic stands.
Ooh, is that an obnoxious noise?
Subtly.
It can be.
I think I've got it down.
It can be. It's okay. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
But you know, the microphones pick up all the little subtleties. And usually, when you do the mic stand removal, wait, silence. You heard that at home. We didn't hear it that much in the room, but at home, nightmare on your ears.
How are these mics with leaf blowers?
Yeah, there is a leaf blower outside.
Just kicked in.
Another day in Killer Cali, baby. Another day in the hood.
Mm-hmm. Who's up? Or you want to ask
up.
You got any questions? The pie was great. It's fantastic. Highly recommend it.
So do a pie with a crumble on top.
And
best of both worlds.
Great crust in the bottom. Oh,
Jay-Z and Lil Wayne on the same album.
I got bars.
All right.
Okay.
You're up.
Have you guys ever been to Hamji Park?
Nope. Yes.
Oh, the Korean barbecue spot?
It's not really Korean barbecue. It's like, well, maybe they do serve barbecue. It's
they do a little
you
bit.
Go with like you go for like pork neck stew and like these
and the
ribs. Yeah, the ribs. Yeah. We go all the time, but this is in the last week it was the best thing I ate for sure.
Yeah, the pork neck stew from Hamji Park. Woo!
It's really good.
There's like big chunks of potatoes and
really
and
pork neck
and pork neck, and it's all
and it's like in the broth. This broth that's
a little spicy, not too bad.
Super, yeah, it's pretty spicy. And then they give it to you with like a side of rice, and you like put the broth on the rice.
I'm into that.
You're sucking
like
some
that.
Pork meat off of a neck bone.
Yeah,
pork necks are a magical little thing. Cause I roast them. When I do like a Sunday gravy pasta sauce. So I'll roast them in the oven, then they get dropped with some San Marzano tomatoes and cook all day.
Mm.
But even when they're just roasted for like 45 minutes, I'm always eating like three or four of them when they come out of the oven. They're so good. So
they're really good.
Delicious.
And the ribs. The ribs are like sticky and a little sweet. Not really spicy. They're more like on the sweeter side.
My favorite part about that place is like that's what everyone orders.
That's what you're supposed
to
order.
Or the ribs and the pork neck soup. So you tell them when it's busy, they'll just ask you, like, you guys are getting how many soups and how many ribs are you getting? So they appear at your table like 2 minutes after you sit down because that's all they do is just make that constantly.
Yeah, that's
so there's
pretty
no
much.
Like, hey, can I get you guys started with some drinks? Or like, no. How many ribs you want? How many pork soups you want? And you're like, three.
Two of each.
And they have other stuff on the menu, but I don't know if I've ever seen anyone order anything else except those two things.
Sure. Yeah. That's all you need.
Beer. That's what you're,
you're just
beer.
Bring
and
the
beer.
Restaurants
and beer. Oh, and that and beer, so good.
Anything else?
Yeah, yeah, never order anything else.
How late
they'll be very mad.
They're open late. I want to say like midnight.
That's the.
And their banchan is like really whack. Like it's not very good.
No.
But that's like not why you go.
No.
No. All right, Andre.
All right, I'm going to say two things. I'm sorry.
First of all, I want to thank my family.
Yeah.
Big man upstairs.
Well, the reason why I was out of town, my friend Bob, who's been on the pod and helped us with the pop-up. We went to go visit his sister who moved up there. She's a marine biologist, so she moved up to Carmel and is working there near Big Sur. And she is a phenomenal baker. You've had her cookies. We get a tin of the cookies when she still lived here every Christmas. Mm-hmm. And she makes the Momofuku Milk Bar corn cookies. And she made a batch for us for coming up, and they were phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Classic cookie.
And it's not a difficult recipe, but they're just so good. So look for that recipe. I think it's even online if you don't want to get the Milk Bar cookbook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm sure you've made those cookies before.
I've never made them.
But you've eaten one.
I have.
Okay.
I've eaten one.
Do you like the corn cookies?
They're very sweet.
Very sweet. Yeah. Her stuff is too sweet for me. Yeah.
Not my thing.
Not my thing either.
Which is interesting because I'm not usually a big sweets guy, but these.
Same for me.
Maybe
now that you have the recipe, you can just make it with less sugar at home.
Yeah.
And maybe you'll grow to love it. And then you can cook it in a waffle press.
There you go. Full circle.
Sweet, not so sweet corn cookie waffle?
Cookie waffle,
ooh.
Yeah.
Hit the bong before that one, buddy.
I feel like you would do really well on Pinterest. That's what Pinterest is all about.
Just like
fucked up like combinations of things that like you're like, are these like housewives like stoned to repin this like 3,000 times?
Wouldn't it be fun if we ate this?
Exactly.
Okay. I need to check out Pinterest. I'm not going to check out Pinterest.
You know, you don't seem like Pinterest audience. Are you on Vine? Are you a Vine person?
I have a little Vine. I like Vine.
Yeah. Men are usually on Vine, I feel like.
That's funny.
Interesting. Women are from Pinterest. Men are from Vine.
You know it. Yeah. I'm a Vine head.
I think maybe the ladies like Snap more than Vine.
I like Snap.
Yeah, Vine is the gentleman Snap.
I don't even know what's. I mean,
Andre's like, are these stores that I can visit?
I'm just what so curious. I've never seen Snapchat, and I've had people try to describe it to me, and now I'm like, I really do want to see what Snapchat looks like.
Well, that's kind of how I felt about Tinder because I was in a relationship before Tinder came around, and Josh and I would be like, should we just like download Tinder so we can just swipe in bed? Like, be like, no, ew, that guy's fucking gross. Ew, no, like that. But we didn't. But I've always been curious about
it. It's a good thing that you didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have friends who met on Tinder and they're like about, I know some people who've gotten married from Tinder.
They met like 7 times.
No, I mean, you and your boyfriend Tindering together.
Right. That's a little weird. I think there's a,
it could be a recipe for.
Neve's going to show at our door. We're going to catfish somebody or something.
Neve, my friend, Neve.
Oh, Neve's your friend?
Yes. We're talking about getting him on my other podcast right now.
Oh, okay. I like Neve.
Like Neve.
Yeah.
Who's Neve?
He's a guy on MTV's Catfish show.
Oh, okay.
Which is a very guilty pleasure television show to watch.
But wait, you know the guy who does that show.
Yeah. That's Max. How I know him. Yeah, I know.
Right, but there's another one.
Oh,
there's two guys.
Oh, okay. I'm a big fan of the show, so...
But I don't know. Now that I just got cable recently, Catfish is like, you know, it is a food podcast. So we're talking about a food, but like that show.
Yeah, it's a guilty pleasure.
I texted Max. I was like, I just got cable, and holy shit, I can't stop watching Catfish. It's just, it's fully addicting. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, it is.
I have cable.
It's wild.
And now that it's like the newer stuff, it has like to do with like Instagram. It's like as the show advances or like. The stuff that aired,
that's interesting.
Yeah, it's like
that's
it
like
actually
platform based. Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they cover all the bases.
Yeah.
Savvy. What else did you eat, Andre? Give us two.
Okay, so the second one is, and I want to mention it. I want to mention both because one, you can make the cookie from the cookbook, and two, if you're ever driving, you can eat this. If you're ever driving from Southern California, Northern California, so
split pea soup.
Go up the 5. No, you cut to get into Monterey. The easiest way is to go up the 5, cut over the 46 to the 101. Now, when you cut over the 46, there's been this taco truck that for the last like 15 years has been there, and I've never tried it. Huh. And I always, it's like, it's super sketchy in a super sketchy area. It's on the 5 side of the 46, and I think it's called like the Wasco Hills. I forget the name
of
the town.
Yeah, I've been through Wasco for sure.
Okay. So I've just always looked at it and with eyes of food poisoning, like, no, this is not going to be
bad
good
idea.
For me. But usually, there's always somebody there. It's not like there's never a line around the block, but there's usually somebody eating there. So it's not like something insane. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it this time. I was hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pull over, and there's a little sign that says handmade tortillas. So you're like, oh, yeah, okay, so they have handmade tortillas. No, they're making tortillas to order.
Mm-hmm.
So I ordered 2 tacos, a lengua and an adobado, and she starts rolling up the tortillas, and I was just like, what? Okay, I'm listening, I'm listening. And the lengua taco was absolutely bonkers. Phenomenal. And the tortilla was amazing. It was like a little bit thicker, but not thicker in masa, but I think there was just a little bit more lard in the masa mixture, so it puffed up more than a normal tortilla, a thin corn tortilla would to order. It was ridiculously good. And then they had, this was something I've never seen in my entire life of eating tacos. The taco truck had, you know, a bunch of green salsa, red salsa, both delicious, cilantro, onion, pickled, and just a bowl of beans. So you can
scoop
and put beans on anything you wanted to. Just a nice bowl of refried pinto beans.
God, that's such a good look at a taco truck.
And I've never seen it before.
Good.
Never. That's a great idea.
And so I
only
put some
in Wasco Hills.
It was so good. And the tacos were, you know, $1.
I bet it was cheap. I was going to say it's cheap as hell, right? Well, they got to feed them farmers.
So I'm never not going to stop.
Hell
of farmers. Like,
if you're listening to this and you're a road trip head, cruising up or cruising down.
Well, what's nice, too, is that your only other options are Subway and Carl's Jr. It's absolutely nauseatingly disgusting.
Panda Express.
Yeah.
So, in and out. There's that one. You got
right.
5.
So they're like within the first bite of this lengua taco, this wave of like a decade and a half of regret just washed over me since this was the first time I'd eaten there and I'd driven by it.
It was under your nose the whole time.
Could have been 30 years of regret.
I know. Mm-hmm. It was phenomenal.
So that's like I hit it on the way out, right?
Exactly.
That's cool. Make you want to not fly to San Francisco anymore.
And it's basically halfway through the drive, right? So it's 2 hours into the drive if you're going up north, and if you're going south, it's 3 hours into the drive.
So it's perfect timing.
Perfect.
All right.
Beautiful thing, baby.
We learned a lot today, fellas.
I'm going to get the name of this taco truck next time.
Podcast.
I'll give better details on it.
If you know this truck's name, give me a tweet. We'll shout it out next week. I'm sure somebody out there knows.
I mean, I got the internet. Yeah, we have to
Who's to say? Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
People can follow you online, your Instagram, A Cozy Kitchen.
Mm-hmm. A Cozy Kitchen everywhere.
A Cozy Kitchen everywhere. The website, buy the book, album in stores right now.
Follow me on Snapchat.
Follow you on Snapchat for a dog and food, I'm assuming.
Dog, food, random stuff.
But
random.
Not dog food.
Sometimes dog food.
Pressure cooker analysis.
When are you going to come out with your own line of dog food?
I don't know. You know, it's because Amelia eats weird stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Last closing notes. Let us know what you feed your dog.
Right now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like right now?
She eats like, depends on the day, you know. Sometimes she eats like a little frozen kale.
Yesterday, what did your dog eat? Breakfast, lunch, dinner?
Okay. She only eats 2 meals a day.
Okay.
Frozen kale, 1 apple diced, 2 raw eggs, 1 banana. Same for...
You mix it all up?
Well, she's had a little issues lately because she eats her food so fast that she throws it up. She's not chewing it. So we got her we got her this dog bowl that's like a maze.
Oh, those are cool.
They make them to slow the dog down. So you put the food in the little crevices. And then she like... It takes her like a good solid 10 minutes to eat, where before she would just like... like eat it in like, I don't eat less than a minute, and I'd be like, yeah.
You gotta slow down, so, fatty.
Cool,
yeah,
down.
Frozen kale.
Like, so that's Stewie
from like the bags from Whole Foods. Like, perfect. They sell frozen kale,
right.
So I don't have to cut anything up.
Right, yeah.
I like that.
Very interesting. Yeah. I like it.
She likes it.
I'd eat that.
Yeah.
We told her vet about it, and her vet was like, "That's really weird," but she was like, "Every day," and I was like, "Yeah, every day." And she was like, well, just make sure she's getting greens like kale or broccoli. So we put that into her diet, and they said she's fine.
It's a lucky corgi.
Yeah, I love it.
And your dog is in good health.
Yeah.
Not,
I mean,
not a fatty.
No, a lot of corgis are overweight.
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, she's not overweight. She's a good size.
You got a lean corgi.
Yeah.
CrossFit on the weekends. The whole thing. Amazing.
Now my new dog is a corgi mix, and he's putting on some pounds. And
so yeah. It's the carbs. Neck,
in the midsection.
It's the carbs. But, you know, she really does love carbs. So, like, if I'm baking at all, she, like, throws, like, hissy fits that she doesn't get it. Like, we were making brioche.
Having mm-hmm. tasted your food, I
Thank
would,
you.
Too.
Mm-hmm. She pissed on my bed after we didn't give her brioche.
Is your dog a French woman?
She's just a bitch.
Is your dog a French woman?
No
Pretty
brioche.
Much, yeah. And she was just like, I hate you. And, like, went on the bed and was like, meh.
What's up now?
Yeah.
You'll think twice the next time you're making that brioche bun.
It's a threat.
Damn. All right. Well, thank you so much for doing this. You can follow me on social media at themjeans. Andre does not have it. Chris is...
Stewie Stewart.
Stewie Stewart. You can go to thestewpodcast.com for all the episodes. And please go on iTunes and give us a nice rating and review. And subscribe and tell a friend if they might like a funny food pod. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.